Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. The great predictor here, Steve Johnson, Minnesota, Tim Porochka. First of all, Tim, I need to tell our listeners, man, what happened last week? We didn't get many downloads last week.
Yeah.
We were talking Masters, and nothing. I mean, we had 10,000, which for us is not very good.
Well, I think it's because I farted on the air. No, that's not true. I didn't fart on the air last week, so listeners weren't enticed. Last week, I took a week off of the gas, and the listeners weren't enticed. They weren't sharing it with their friends. They weren't sharing it on social media because they laugh at that stuff. It's relatable, Steve. They enjoy it.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, you know the listener better than I do. And if you crap in your pants is what they want to hear, well, that's what we're going to give them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm expecting a big load to drop today. Tim Porochka on the air.
I am a little concerned that I won't make it the entire show.
Really?
Without needing a break, but we'll try our best.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it right now. This week is the RBC Heritage Tournament and a week after the Masters, a bunch of guys that played in the Masters last week are now playing in the RBC Heritage. Not the greatest of fields. Let me see here what it says on my PGA Tour media guide here.
It's not a terrible field.
It's all right. You got a bunch of, I'm not going to say retreads, but you have a bunch of guys that really are not even on the tour anymore. Davis Love is playing.
Well, you got to look at the top of the leaderboard, Steve. I mean, you could go through this list on any PGA Tour event, including the Masters, which includes Larry Mize.
Larry Mize is playing in this?
No, I'm talking about last week at the Masters. You could talk about retreads any week on the PGA Tour.
Okay, so here's the PGA Tour is a propaganda machine, you know? I mean, they're trying to build value to their events. And then these guys are the greatest players in the world. We can't diminish that. But I've got seven field notes here, and I'm going to read these to you, Tim, okay?
Okay.
Listen.
I'm listening.
15 of the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings, led by Patrick Cantlay and Dustin Johnson, number four, number eight in the FedEx Cup. 15 of the top 30, so half of the top 30. I don't think we could name 10 of the top 30. Maybe we can. The next note, 28 of the top 50 in the official world golf rankings, including five of the top 10. This looks like this is a 50%. It's trending as a 50% rule. 15 of the top 30. Now, five of the top 10. Including this, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Tyrrell Hatton, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay. I'm boring you already, I can tell. 92 PGA Tour winners. It's pretty good. 13 major champions.
This is better than any field a tournament will get after Masters Week.
That's true.
Than the tournament after the U.S. Open, the tournament after the Open Championship, and the tournament after the PGA Championship.
Right. Now we've got, you know, this is kind of we're not into the dog days of summer yet, but we do have a lot of tournaments that the top guys, if they have affiliations with businesses like
sponsors.
Zurich. Yeah, sponsors. So this is where the PGA Tour, we don't pay appearance fees. We don't do it. Europe does, but we don't do it. Well, essentially they do. There's players that are sponsored by and endorse Valspar. There's players that endorse Zurich. There's players that endorse Wells Fargo. Jordan Spieth, AT&T, Nationwide Insurance. And so these are the tournaments that are coming up. And we're going to have fields just like this where we're going to have, you know, half of the top 30. But a lot of these guys are just, they're gearing up toward, they've got, in May, we had the Masters in April. In May, we have the PGA Championship. In June, we have the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. We need to talk about that a little bit.
We do.
And also, yeah, because, you know, they're only going to allow 10,000 fans per day.
That's pretty good.
So if you're planning on going to the U.S. Open, you better arrange your tickets right now. Mm. I'll probably see you on one of those wind gliders up on the bluffs up there. You're watching the tournament from one of those hang gliders.
One of the windmills?
Oh, no, the hang gliders.
Oh.
You know, they always show that. The reason that's a popular spot for the hang gliders in San Diego is there's a big cliff right there on the coast, and the upward draft, aerodynamics, you know, we're talking, Tim.
Oh, okay.
Aerodynamics. So get ready, fans, because this is what we're going to see over the next 2 months. We're going to see two major championships, and then we're going to see a lot of filler. And I'm interested about the AT&T Byron Nelson tournament because they changed venues. Remember, we were at the Four Seasons in Las Colinas for many, many years. Players hated the course. They loved the resort, hated the course. Loved all the women at the tournament, hated the course. Loved that they could bring their families and relax at the resort, hated the course. So they moved to another course. I forget who the driving force was, but AT&T got with a private investor, and this private investor built the course, and they said, hey, this is going to be the home of the AT&T. It's also going to be the home of the Southern Methodist University Mustangs, the men's and women's program. It's also going to be the home of the First Tee, and it's also going to be the home of Cameron McCormick,
who teaches Jordan
Spieth. Yes, yes.
No, get out of here.
That's what it's going to be. And so I went down there and I said, man, this thing does not look good on television. I remember talking to Hank about this. I said, man, this place. And Hank's buddy was one of the guys that was responsible for the building of the course, the clubhouse.
Wow. No way.
Yeah. His name is Tom. I think it's Tom Dundon.
Tom Dundon.
Yes. And he's the owner of the NHL team, the Hurricanes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's he's a businessman. Looks at analytics and he thought, you know what? Hey, this is going to be a great venue because we're going to bring more activity down south of Dallas. But I looked at the course and I said, man, this course is ugly. This course looks so bad. Trinity Forest, not one tree on the whole property. That's kind of an oxymoron, you know? Let's call it Trinity Forest. Why is that? Oh, because we've got no trees. Zero trees. No shade for the gallery. It looks like you're playing in Europe. It looks like it could be in Scotland. And it was awful. That it lasted there for 2 years, Timmy. 2 years. And now it's at TPC Craig Ranch, which is a course that's close to my house. Not the greatest of gallery friendly. And you know why I say it's not gallery friendly? Tim, what would you think? They've got so many bridges. They've got this little creek, White Rock Creek, I forget what it's called, maintenance, drainage creek, whatever it is. But they have 9 bridges that go over. How can you get these galleries across the bridges?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh, it's nuts.
You're going to have to get drones.
That's so stupid. Anyway, I mean, come on. They need to fix it. Yeah, anything more on the Byron Nelson Trinity Forest, Steve? Come on, keep on going.
Trinity Forest? It sucked. It was terrible. It was an awful course. I didn't like it.
Nick Faldo didn't like it.
Nick Faldo didn't like it. Nick Faldo said he was talking with Ben Crenshaw, was the designer. And there's this one par three that it looked like waves. It had like different levels and then a depression and another level of depression. And Ben Crenshaw said, Nick, do you know that this green right here was exactly the way it was when we came on this property? And that's why this green looks like that. And Nick says, well, gosh, did you ever think about changing it? Because it's goofy. It's goofy. The best thing about the Byron Nelson, AT&T Byron Nelson, it's the initial, the first win of Sung Kang. Mm. Sung Kang.
Okay.
Lives in Dallas. And this is one PGA Tour win.
I feel like this segment needs a weather report from you, Steve. This segment just absolutely needs a weather report.
Well, okay. The weather hasn't been, it's 100% chance of rain this morning.
Now that we lost the listeners talking about the Byron Nelson for 10 minutes, go ahead. I think we're just going to copy the show onto Byron Nelson Week, and we're just going to play it twice.
It's not Byron Nelson Week this week?
It's the RBC Heritage.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, I can see how you get confused.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the RBC Heritage then.
Okay.
Did you know? Because this is, we're going to talk a little bit of instruction that the winners, the past winners of the RBC Heritage have averaged 25 putts around to win this event. 25
small
putts
greens,
around.
Small greens.
Very Steve. Small greens.
Yes.
But you see the guys that have won this tournament. I'm going to look here. You've got a lot of exotic putters here.
Not you last year. Webb Simpson.
He's
not exotic.
Left arm lock and a claw. That's pretty exotic, pal. Well, that's exotic. He's a great putter. A great putter. Made a bunch of putts over 10 feet. Let's see. Brant Snedeker, Matt Kuchar, Jim Furyk. Exotic. Mackenzie Hughes, I don't know how he putts.
Everyone's exotic on the PGA Tour
nowadays. I want to talk about when we're going to take a break right now because yeah. I've run out of AT&T Byron Nelson facts and figures. But when we get back, what I want to talk about why these players are using the exotic putting styles. Specifically, my man that I picked on my team for the year is Will Zalatoris.
Yeah, Hank loves you for that pick. Hank's been just so complimentary that
really?
You picked Will Zalatoris. Yeah, every week on the podcast, Hank's like, and I got to give credit to Steve on this one because Steve picked Will Zalatoris before the year on this PGA Tour draft team.
And not only did I pick Will Zalatoris, I went outside of the range. You know, like we did 1 through 50 and then 51 through 100. Will Zalatoris, when we were picking at the beginning of the year, was like number 160-something, and I went in a category before him, and I said, guys, I'm going to do something a little unconventional. I'm going to go outside this category. I'm going to pick a guy that's farther down the list, but I want him because I think that this kid is going to get it done. And sure enough, that was Will Zalatoris.
Steve Johnson is Mr. Exotic.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to talk about his putting style. Hank's probably talked about it a little bit. And why do players go with exotic styles? That's what's going to bring the listeners back.
They're fast forwarding. They're coming back. We haven't lost them yet.
We're going to talk about that after Tim tells us and mispronounces the words and all that. He's going to tell us about a product that Hank is involved in I've been using lately, a little sciatica going down the leg. Mm. We're talking about Voodoo Pain Relief Cream.
Yes, we are.
So tell our listeners, Tim.
I will tell our listeners, Steve. So go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. If you got a headache listening to the great predictor Steve Johnson talk about the Byron Nelson for about 8 minutes during the RBC Heritage Week, the week following the Masters, go get some voodoopainrelief.com because that will help you. It will take care of your aches. It'll take care of your pains. It will help you. That's all I got to say.
And what is the formula? What is the formula?
The product is patented.
There you go. That's
wow.
That's what we're talking
that
about.
Was nice.
That was what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. The product is patented. It will help you. I guarantee it. And it's free right now. Free 2-week supply.
Tim, what does that mean? What does that mean when it's patented? What does that mean to the person that tries Voodoo Pain Relief Cream? What does that mean?
It means it's a product unlike any other.
Exactly. They have the rights to this formula. It's a formula that's specifically for pain relief, anti-inflammatory. If you have any aches and pains, you got to give it a try.
Exactly. VoodooPainRelief.com. We'll be right back with Mr. Exotic, Steve Johnson.
Do we have any intro music? We just come back into it.
Oh, we have intro music.
Okay, good. Good. Welcome back to segment 2 of the Hank Haney Podcast Saturday Strong Edition. Tim Peroshka here, and he's threatened, folks. If you don't tune back in and tell your friends to tune back in, he's going to start farting. And because he thinks that's what you guys like to hear. I know you like to hear about golf. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit of golf. RBC Heritage this week, Tim. No Byron Nelson.
We did the Byron Nelson.
No. I touched on the fact that we saw during the Masters this last week, we saw a lot of even Hideki Matsuyama, who uses a conventional grip, is getting all, you know, he's maneuvering when he's got the routine to try to get comfortable and stabilize on his putting setup. But we did see Will Zalatoris, Xander Schauffele, the guys that were right up there close to, until Xander Schauffele knocked it in the water on 16, close to giving Hideki Matsuyama all he needed, you know, he just all the competition he wanted, because Hideki was hanging on. You know, he bogeyed three out of the last five holes. But we saw the putting style specifically of Will Zalatoris. And Hank texted me during the tournament. He says, hey, first of all, who helps Will Zalatoris? A good friend of ours, Josh, gosh darn it, now I'm going to forget his last name. I'll think of it in a second, but his first name is Josh.
His coach, is that what you're looking for?
Well, it's Denton is his name, is his full swing coach. Barry Denton, not Barry Denton. What the heck? I'm trying to give guys props and I can't even remember their names.
Josh Gregory.
Josh Gregory, that's it. Josh Gregory.
And Troy Denton.
Troy Denton, that's it. That's, he also gave another guy credit, a guy to help him plan a strategy for the tournament. Now, Will Zalatoris, this was his first time at the Masters, correct?
Yes.
And so it's very intimidating the first time. A lot of local knowledge, a lot of experience. And the players even talk about it. Hey, you know what? I got to get some experiences. Xander Schauffele said, hey, I'm going to use this crappy shot I hit on 16 as an experience. I got to remember that, not to hit it in the water. I forgot that. I forgot that characteristic of a shot.
Good takeaway.
Yeah. So, and he realized, hey, I hit the wrong shot. I picked the wrong club, hit the wrong shot, cost him the tournament, cost him a chance to get in the playoff. But Will Zalatoris, if for those of you that are unfamiliar with Will Zalatoris's putting style, he looks like a 2021 version of a 1970s version of Johnny Miller. Real skinny, blonde hair, wiry, strong kid, but really skinny. And he uses the left arm lock where the putter grip runs up his left forearm and it stops at his elbow. That stabilizes his left arm and hand. And then he uses a claw grip with his right hand. And so, I mean, our assumption is, Hank and my assumption was, hey, you know, this kid's battled the yips. And no one's talked about it in the past, but his coach said that he was full-blown yips. And he didn't say mostly with his right hand. So he practices putting sometimes with just his left arm. His coach says he puts just as well with one hand, left hand only, as he does with the two hands, the right-hand claw grip. But what that does is it neutralizes the twitching of his hands. Sometimes when you get your palm facing the target, like parallel to the club face, a yipper will tend to be very unstable with that right hand and anticipate the hit. Typically, the club face is way too open coming into the ball, and the yip is a closing motion. And Will Zalatoris changed his technique to overcome that. And back in the day, Tim, when I was growing, everyone just, okay, I've got to go back to the way I did it when I was a kid. And they tried to recapture some type of technique. Oh, I don't need to think so much. I'm stressing on it too much. I just need to go back to and not think of anything. Well, that was not the way, obviously, that these kids thought. They thought, hey, you know what? I got to get a different technique. Jordan Spieth's done it. Everybody on the PGA Tour, and I named a couple guys that have won this RBC tournament. Webb Simpson has won. Terrible yipper. Overcame it with the left arm lock in the claw grip and a very short, compact stroke. A different timing of his stroke. Stuart Sink, Matt Kuchar, Jim Furyk. I mean, he's got a long list of guys that have won this tournament that have used exotic putting techniques for many years. The best putters on the tour all used exotic techniques. Do you use exotic techniques, Tim?
I don't know what's considered an exotic technique. I probably do. What's a conventional technique? Answer that question.
Well, conventional is for right-handed golfers, right hand below your left hand, and then it's a preference on if you want to overlap the grips, interlock, thumbs going down the shaft. forms in line with the putter shaft. That's pretty conventional. Okay. You'll see that on the PGA Tour. Let me give you a little example, Tim, because you've got your wedding coming up here pretty soon. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go, since you a regret that I wouldn't be able to go.
That was a very nice letter, by the
way. Prize in the mail. Okay. Yep. And I thought it was weird that you wanted on your registry that you had a tennis racket and a basketball. I don't know why you had that.
Good date ideas.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. She could sit there and watch you shoot baskets.
Yeah. Hey, she shoots baskets with me.
So getting back to the technique, the conventional technique, I'm saying that if you relate it to the honeymoon, you relate this technique to the honeymoon. A conventional grip is like the missionary position.
Oh, my God.
Okay? It's conventional. It's, it's years time tested.
Wow.
So you see guys that are going left hand low, left hand low, I'd say a little doggy style.
Oh, my God.
And then, and then you look at Will Zalatoris.
Is he doing anal?
No. Come on, Tim. We're talking golf. He's doing the reverse cowboy. Reverse cowboy.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you're calling me dirty. This is unbelievable.
Okay.
Mr. Exotic, Steve Johnson.
Well, we're talking exotic here. Exotic putting styles.
Yeah.
So instead of the left arm lock, I'm going to call it the reverse cowgirl.
So who's the guy that gets down on the greens and does push-ups on the greens?
Well, that's
who's that?
Kessler.
Someone else does
Patrick.
That too.
Yeah, it's Camilo Villegas.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
What would you call Patrick Reed's caddy? What would you say? What position does he do?
A douchebag.
Douchebag. Douchebag position.
Yeah.
Okay. That's I don't know if that was more oral or something.
Tim, come on. That's not good, Tim. Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm trying to help our listeners here. It's all about the listener.
It's all about the listener.
Yeah. We better take another break.
Yeah. I got a big question when we come back.
You do?
By the way, the grip that I use is a baseball grip on my putter.
Okay. All right. Do your thumbs run down the shaft?
Yes.
Do your thumbs? Okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a big question coming back. It's not about golf. It's about a personal experience. Something that I'm not sure if I do it right, if I do it wrong, or if what I do is disgusting. I need to ask Steve Johnson, the great predictor, that coming up next.
Are you going to keep this clean? Or are we? Am I going to? Because if it's not clean, I'm going to go silent on you.
Okay, we'll keep it clean.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll try. Well, all right.
And if you do tune out, we got to go. Tell him to go to Haney University.
Yeah, go to HaneyUniversity.com right now for free daily golf tips, a newsletter that comes out daily, all to improve your golf game. The newsletter is free, by the way. Hank also has great training aids on Haney University, like a practice putting green, a net that you can hit into, and so many more items like an impact snap. You can also send in your golf swings to golfschools@HankHaney.com, a down-the-line video of your swing. The great predictor, one of the guys, will send you a message back, hopefully not exotically, and they'll help you improve your game. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast.
All right, segment three here, Hank Haney podcast. Hank's probably going to take his name off of this podcast because... we've been pretty sketchy here. Yeah. But it's the week after the Masters. I mean, we were worn out. Did you enjoy watching the Masters?
No, it was so boring.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it was total NASCAR, man. I was waiting for wheels to fall off.
I know, and the wheels didn't fall off.
You know
off,
what? They kind of did. The guy bogeys.
Well, it was still two shots down when that happened. The thing, this is what I explained to Hank this week. I said, I was bummed out by the Masters, not because it wasn't necessarily close. I mean, that was a part of it, but there was no signature moment. Phil from the pine straw, Tiger's chip from outside the green, Bubba Watson hooking it around trees, Jordan Spieth flushing irons or putting it in the water or something like that. There was no signature shot that I will remember from this Masters or from the 2020 Masters, what I will remember is that the leader, the winner, blitzed the field and it wasn't even close.
Well, I mean, he did have a great Saturday. And that's one of the reasons Saturday afternoon after that rain delay, after the storm delay, Hideki Matsuyama really got a cushion there. But I mean, I tell you what, as calm as he looks, Tim, and after the fact, he says, I was nervous every shot. You wouldn't have noticed. I mean, I didn't notice that he was nervous. Did you?
From the opening tee shot, you did.
Well, I mean, he hits it into the woods. But after that, I mean, he recovered nicely. Bogeys the first hole, and then he comes back, and he plays good enough to keep the pressure on the other guys, keep the lead, and just not make the mistakes. I mean, we remember back in 2019, not the November Masters that Dustin Johnson won, but the April Masters that Tiger Woods won, that, I mean, how many times do you see the last two groups, three out of the four guys not getting the water on 12? I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, and it's credit to Matsuyama. It was a boring Masters because he played so well. It's very complimentary to Matsuyama.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't know, I couldn't get into it.
The strategy that the committee used, it was a different one. When the players came out in the first round, there were a lot of high scores. The course conditions were very tough.
I criticized them too.
When they showed the drone pictures, Tim, the drone from above, and you see the beautiful fairways and the greens look brown, that was not a good look for Augusta National.
No, it wasn't.
I think they did a good job of packing the gallery together to make it look like there was a lot of people there, because most of the fans were just on a couple holes.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into your question.
Yeah, I'm putting
my seatbelt on, though, because I want to answer this question that you have with wisdom.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so we may have a little blank, airtime.
Yeah.
But you can edit that out.
Yeah, I can edit that out. It's very men talk. This is very men talk right here.
Okay, men talk? Okay.
Yeah, this is men talk.
Okay.
So I work at Walmart, right? You know that. The listeners know that by now, too. And I go to the bathroom at Walmart. I go number two. I take a deuce and stuff. So
are you the kind of guy? Wait a second. Let me ask you a question. Are you the kind of guy that goes to Walmart, you punch in, and then you go to the bathroom? Is that the kind of guy you are?
I do that all the time.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
No, it's not terrible. I do it all the time.
It's okay to use the restroom at your place of work, but don't punch in. Don't get paid for a number two. That's not right. That's not right.
It's hard work. It's hard quality work.
All right. Okay. All right. Continue.
Okay. I do that. That's awesome. Okay. But when I go to the bathroom, the Walmart bathrooms, to be frank, are pretty disgusting. They're pretty nasty. They smell, and a lot of times, half the time you go to a stall and there's still poop in there. There's still toilet paper in the toilet. I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. I got to go to the other one. So half the time I go, because there's two stalls, so half the time I go to the first one, there's poop nasty in there. Then I go to the other one. It's the handicap one, which I kind of feel bad taking, but you know what? It's clean. It's fresh. It looks good. It looks satire. It looks nice. What I struggle with, because so when someone else comes to the bathroom, as I'm going to the bathroom, I hear them unroll the toilet paper right when they get in there, and then they place it on the seat, right?
Sanitary.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people do that.
Uh-huh. There's some places that have the seat cover that some restrooms have.
Seat
That's cover. Old school. Yeah, it was just wasn't toilet paper. It was an actual a cover, like wax paper.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd pop out the middle of it, and it would outline the toilet, the seat.
Wow.
So continue.
So anyway, what I do is my cheeks press right up against the toilet. There's no separator between the lid of the toilet and my butt cheeks. But anytime I hear someone else go to the bathroom, they have a separator between their butt cheeks and the toilet with toilet paper.
Okay.
Now, am I Mr. Exotic? Am I unconventional here?
No.
Or is that traditional and other people are exotic? I'm not sure.
That's a great question. That's almost as good a question as fixing the putting yips.
Yeah.
But Tim, I don't think you're not exotic. I would say, first of all, uncleanly and lazy is the two verbs that I know. Here's why. You could have gotten as good a shape as you're in. You could go air squat.
I could go air squat. Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Because what if I miss?
Well, you're a good aim.
I honestly like the feeling of a toilet seat pressing against.
When you're sitting down on a commode, it's a relaxation technique for you, right? I mean, so if you were doing the air squat, that would put too much tension. It wouldn't be as enjoyable experiences as just kind of relaxing there.
Yeah.
What I would recommend, Tim, and this is, I'm glad you asked this question because many people ask me the same thing. And what I would do is I would. What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing.
I get many questions about this. Yes.
Yeah.
Do people send
golf swings about this?
No. It's mostly just like you guys that want younger men that want advice about public restrooms. And I understand what you're saying. That's one of the most humbling experiences when you've got no choice. You've got a shift. You've got an 8-hour shift coming up, and there's no way that you're going to be able to tough it out and go to home court to go back to the home court at home. Yeah. You've got to make a choice. Have you ever considered? And I'm going to get to my answer here in a second. But have you ever considered? And this is one of the luxuries of the California lifestyle: is when you go to the restroom, it's got the man and the woman on the same picture.
No,
it's not family. It's all comers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, my question is, have you ever considered going into the women's restroom?
I have not. No.
You haven't? Okay. Okay.
No, I would never do that.
Okay.
Even if it's a one-hole toilet that's nasty.
Let me give you a hypothetical then. You're at Walmart. You're not at Walmart because you know Walmart. You're at a restaurant, and there's two restrooms. There's one that says men. There's one that says woman. It's a one-holer. It's got a commode in there and a sink. But you're waiting patiently. You're waiting patiently, and there's some guy that's camping out in there.
Yeah.
I mean, some guy's camping out. He's camping out.
I've done this in a gas station bathroom.
Okay, so you think, man, I've been standing here for 20 minutes waiting for this guy who's camping out. Whew.
Man.
But this ladies' restroom is wide open. Maybe I ought to just go in there. Have you ever done that?
I have done that in the gas station bathroom.
Okay. All right. That's always an option. Okay, let me get down to the
hurry, Steve, because the wisdom. I'm running out of time.
Here it is. Here it is right here. Why don't you give the toilet paper a try? Because it accomplishes a lot that what you wanted to accomplish. The relaxation, the non-stressful, that you're sitting down.
I'm shifting. I'm wobbling.
You're
here.
Sitting down.
Hurry.
You got some relaxation, and you've got a little barrier.
Yeah.
But the only problem is you can't move around, because if you move around, it's going to displace that toilet paper and the barrier will be gone.
Yeah.
The barrier between you and the and it's not porcelain, I guess plastic or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Whatever. Yeah. I feel like I connect to the average American by pressing my butt cheeks right up against that seat. Uh-huh. And honestly, if other people always put the toilet, this is my theory. If other people always put the toilet paper down on the toilet seat, then I have a fresh, clean toilet seat, because no one has their butt cheeks pressed against the toilet seat because they all use toilet paper.
Yeah, but so that's a false assumption though, because I would estimate that about 2 in 10 use the toilet paper. 8 in 10 have the nasties. So
yeah, that's true. All right, everyone, I gotta go.
Okay, Okay, so next, let's count it down here, Tim. We're going to count it down. A few weeks until the Byron Nelson. We're going to be counting it down.
This week,
okay, you watch the RBC Heritage, and we'll catch you next time.
Stay safe, stay healthy. Follow us on Twitter at GreatPredictor1, at Tim Parachka. Send your golf swings into golfschools@hankhaney.com. Enjoy the Byron Nelson this week, the RBC Heritage. The Byron Nelson's coming up in several weeks from now. I'm sorry that Steve went on a 20-minute rant talking about the golf course and past winners of the Byron Nelson.
Remember, try your exotic putting techniques if you can't get it done.
And exotic bathroom techniques as well.
Right.
Hit putts, leave the flagstick in, put the toilet paper on the seat or don't, and Leave the flight stick in because play is faster. We'll talk to you next week.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.